The Brad Sesmatch Show, broadcasting live.
Thanks for being with us. Off we go into a new week. We will have John Wilner, Wilner Hotline, as we chop it up every Monday on the college football scene. Jody is off this week with the Cardinals having had a bye. Opening comments are brought to you by Desert Financial Credit Union. Desert Financial Credit Union, taking care of you, taking care of your business. As always and through the years, that's Desert Financial Credit Union. We do appreciate their support. I saw the Cam Scadaboo injury while I was sitting here in my office, and that just ruined my weekend for that kid. I don't live and die, but I ache when I see someone that I know a little bit and they go through that. And I thought Fox did the right thing by not showing the replay of his ankle pointing north and his foot pointing south. So from the way that it sounded in talking with or hearing from the players after the games were over. So that was the top part of the weekend, which wasn't good. The bottom part of the weekend was the Arizona State game, simply because they just didn't play well. They were undisciplined, which is very unlike what I've seen out of ASU. There were just way too many mistakes. I don't want to hear about the referees. This is why I have this problem with the growth and maturity of the program at ASU. You don't storm the field when you're the defending Big 12 champions after you beat Texas Tech. Oh, don't take away my fun from it. No, I think it's time for the fan base to grow up a little bit. Yes, fans throwing stuff on the field towards the referees is not growing up. That's just being an immature fan base. And it wasn't all kids. You know, it's so, and it's the fire this coach, fire that coach. And if you want to be different, if you want to have long-term success, you don't just sit there and say, well, that assistant coach needs to go and that assistant coach needs to go, and then they're going to have everything fixed. Maybe there was an evaluation miss. Maybe, possibly, there was an injury or two. Maybe they don't have the right players in place. They're college kids. And just because you have your betting app open and you're not winning your bet, that's no reason to crush a kid. It's not. So just a terrible showing by ASU, because Houston was fine enough. They weren't great. They were shorthanded, ASU was, with injuries. That's part of the deal. And there were mistakes all over the place. Special teams were just dreadful once again. They've been awful this season. There's no other way to sugarcoat it. There isn't. So that was the downside of the weekend. I'm really interested this week. You go to Ames, Iowa. It's Iowa State, ASU. And you go there, and it's Colorado and U of A. You have games that you look at and say, U of A should just go wipe Colorado from the floor. Colorado was rolled over and scratching their fleas on their belly on Saturday night against Utah. ASU is going to go to Ames, and they could get train wrecked. And this is the grit part of it with ASU. Do you have the grit to hang in there? U of A, they're already talking about basketball season. I know that. It doesn't really matter to the U of A fan what happens on the football field. It only matters what happens on the basketball court. For ASU, they want it to be like last year, which wasn't easy. And you go to Iowa State and you win, that sends an enormous message. That's a turning point maybe for the season. Or they go back there and just get boat raced. I don't know if Sam Levitt's going to play. Don't know if Jordan Tyson's going to play. The special teams coach can take a leave. It doesn't mean it's all of a sudden going to get fixed. So there's just a lot there in the middle of a season where you have to pivot, you have to weave, you have to bob. I thought on the national space, and we'll talk to John Wilner about it shortly. On the national space, watched a lot of college football on Saturday. And from my view, the playoff as it sits today, Ole Miss is in. Lane Kiffin is sitting in a beautiful position. And not everybody's on the Lane Kiffin bandwagon. But Ole Miss, they don't have a tough schedule remaining. They just keep winning. And they still have to play the Citadel. Of course, the SEC has their bye week games, which are a joke. So I think Ole Miss is in a spot where they are solid. Notre Dame is in a spot where all they have to do is keep winning out. Pitt is probably their toughest game. And even though Notre Dame has two losses there, Notre Dame. We'll talk to John Wilner about that here momentarily. Your Cardinals play at Dallas next Monday night. Feels like they haven't played in forever, which might be a good thing. It's a national stage for Kyler Murray, and there's this whole, well, Kyler's never lost in that stadium. I don't care. Don't care. Just show up and be consistent. We're done. It's 7 years of this. This could really be the Buddy Ryan running off the field as the clock was still rolling type of moment for Kyler. You go to Dallas and you get crushed. And I think if there's any, I don't know of anybody who's raising their hand saying the Cardinals have their future quarterback in place or even their present one. And Jacoby Brissett may end up being that present guy. If Kyler goes out and gets just crushed this week, it'll be interesting to see how the owner handles the pressure that's building and how Jonathan Gannon handles it. I mean, what else? World Series has been terrific. Watch the game on Friday. Watch the game on Saturday. Right now, Ohtani and Betts and Freeman, I think they're like 4 for 21. They're not good, but it's just a matter of time. And so tonight will be game three of the World Series. Got some other things to get to a little bit later on in the show, but up next, it's John Wilner and Wilner Hotline. I'm Brad Sussmat. John Wilner with us for a couple of minutes. Wilner Hotline, as always, every Monday, look forward to chopping up with John because John is the one guy that said, look, Brad, this is in August. I remember it very clearly. Actually, it was in July. In July, John said to me at Big 12 Football Media Day, it's going to be Indiana and Vanderbilt playing for the national championship. He was the only one. And I said, of course, John, it's going to. No, he didn't say any of this.
No, I had Georgia Tech.
Oh my gosh, John, where do we start here? It is sheer lunacy, which we like. It's total chaos, which we love. And we still have a month to go. The coaching carousel, usually it's Black Monday after the season's over. Every Monday is Black Monday now in college football with LSU, the latest. Brian Kelly, you're gone. So where do you
There's going
want
to
to
be
start
more.
here?
There's going to be more. I mean,
Oh,
in
sure.
some ways, the James Franklin situation at Penn State provided a permission structure for the big programs to just make changes where they wouldn't, at a time and place that they wouldn't have made them in the past. But there will be more, certainly in the SEC and other places. And then there will be a wave right when the season ends, the final week of the season, the first week after the season. I would think that last year, I want to say last winter, there were Power Four firings. We could get upwards of 15 or 20 this year. It's going to be a bloodbath for the coaches, which means a ton of cascading effects.
Sure.
A vacancy opens and they hire and another, all the way down through the major college ranks.
Who is the guy or couple guys that these search firms, I never for life me figure out why it has to be a search firm. If you're a really good AD, you have to have five names on your desk with numbers. But who are the couple of names that you believe everybody is saying we have to get out early because this is the guy that we want and we know everybody else is going to want him?
Well, the hottest guy on the market is Lane Kiffin. I mean, I think you're going to see Florida is going to make a huge run at him, and LSU may as well. Penn State even. I think Eli Drinkwitz at Missouri is probably going to be pretty popular. Mike Elko at A&M. Now, why would you leave A&M? You're in first place in the SEC. We'll see what happens. But what makes it so interesting is that with the portal and with NIL and revenue sharing, it's harder to distinguish what the best jobs are. Like, if this was 10 years ago and Lane Kiffin's at Ole Miss and Florida opens, well, that's a no-brainer. Florida gives you a better chance to win a national title. But that's not necessarily the case anymore. Everything is flattened at the top because it's pretty much about how much money you got to support your roster. And a place like Ole Miss has got just as much money as Florida. So I don't know that Lane Kiffin's going to view Penn State or LSU or Florida as jobs to take ahead of Ole Miss.
Yeah, it's like Wisconsin, right? Big brand.
Yeah.
They've fallen way behind,
They have.
way, way, way behind in NIL. And now that
Yep.
job is like, okay, you're going to go there, you're going to get a check, and you're probably going to get fired after year three, maybe even year two if things aren't turning.
Yep. Well, that certainly Luke Fickell, I think, is in some trouble at the end of the season. But that gets to the other interesting dynamic, the chicken and egg thing. Do you not at Wisconsin? They clearly don't have the NIL resources needed to recruit at the high level to compete in the Big Ten. But do they not have the resources because Fickell hasn't been able to generate enough support from the boosters to get the money? Or are the boosters not liking what they're seeing, so they're withholding? That happened at Oklahoma State. There's a lot of money at Oklahoma State that was on the sideline because donors there didn't think it was going to be invested properly by Mike Gundy, and so they were withholding their cash. Is that happening at Wisconsin? That's the other dynamic, and that's part of the reason if you're an AD, you have to determine is the problem, we're not getting the resources because they aren't there, or they're withholding because they don't like the coach.
You covered Lane Kiffin some, right?
Yes.
Yeah, when he was at SC, right?
Yep.
So here's the deal on Lane Kiffin. They're undefeated. They have South Carolina, the Citadel, Florida, Egg Bowl. He probably is already in the playoff.
Oh, basically a lock. Yes.
Right. And he could sit there and say, I'm just going to go coach these next four games. I'm going to go to the SEC championship game,
Yep.
and we're going to go into the playoff. And I don't really need to make a decision because I am sitting here holding every last card, NFL
Yep.
and college.
Yep.
So of all the coaches that are sitting there, I think he and Elko too, because Texas A&M is winning, right? These
Yep.
programs that are winning, they can go out there. A year ago, Kalani Sitake was supposed to get fired at BYU. Well, all of a
Yeah.
sudden, they have a freshman quarterback who's killing everybody,
Yep.
and they're undefeated. And he could sit there and say, you guys, maybe I should not. And he's not the biggest name, but every situation is different.
It is. Scott Satterfield at Cincinnati is another great
Yeah,
example
that's
in the
another
Big
one.
12. I mean,
Sure.
everybody thought he was on the hot seat to start the season, and they're tied for first place. The timing issue that you mentioned is very interesting because let's say you're Florida and you want Kiffin.
Right.
Okay, well, Ole Miss is almost a lock for the playoff. That is, opening round games are like December 20th, 21st. Okay, what if they win? Then he's playing on New Year's. What if they win again? Now, the portal, they changed the date for the portal to open. It's no longer early December. Now the portal doesn't open until January 2nd. So if you're Florida, do you say, you know what, we'll wait for Kiffin and gamble that he loses in the opening round on December 20th and then hire him before the portal? It makes the timing a very interesting piece of the whole thing for schools who want coaches that are in the going to make the playoff. Do you
Well,
wait or do you move on and go to somebody else so that you can be ready to take maximum advantage of the portal opening January 2nd?
do you flip that around? And if you're Lane Kiffin and you say, I am going to leave Ole Miss at the end of the season, or do they, let me think back on this. This would be Bill Frieder, Steve Fisher situation in Michigan, right? In basketball, we're using a basketball analogy. Bill takes a job at Arizona State and they said, we don't want you to finish the season out. Get out of
Yeah.
here. Lane Kiffin agrees to terms on a gig, but I'll go hit it when I'm done here. Basically, it rules him out, John, doesn't it? Because we haven't seen that in football. We're going to
We
wait for
haven't.
you while you're trying to win a national title. In the meantime, the university that you're coaching for is saying, well, we don't care if you're trying to win a national title. You don't want to be here with us. See ya. Never seen that one, have you?
No, you haven't. And I would think that, like in Kiffin's case, maybe there's a wink and a nod that he would take the Florida job, but there's never going to be anything in writing, anything traceable,
Right.
anything material that could be held against him. And you've already taken another job, you're out of here. I can't see that happening. And part of the reason is that there's only a handful of agents that represent these guys at the highest
Sure.
level. I mean, Jimmy Sexton represents Sarkisian and Norvell, and he represented Saban, and he's got DeBoer. So the agents are playing both sides of the chessboard, and they're not going to do anything that, in you know, puts their payday and their coach's payday in jeopardy.
Yeah, just so we're really clear, I don't buy for a minute that Sark was, oh, yeah, I'm so mad that that report got out, and I don't buy that at all.
No, you don't, huh, Brad? You don't think
no,
that was...
heck no.
No.
All
I'm
these guys, John, are always angling for the next
yep.
deal. And
I'm
you know,
sure that his agency, CAA...
Yeah, it's Sexton.
Sexton, they were looking, you know, hey, NFL, we're out. And then it backfired, and they had to do damage control.
Yeah, I, you know, this is the time of year where... have you spoken to, no, I've never spoken to, have your agent spoken to, well, I can't comment on that, let's just get into the game. Or they won't even go that far. You know, to think
That's
that
right.
Kenny's, to think this, we talked about this last week, to think that Dillingham's phone hasn't rung, or not his phone, but his agent's phone or somebody around him's phone hasn't rung, that's beyond naive. And even though they got worked by Houston, I think Kenny on one hand is his phone will ring. I got to believe Willie Fritz's phone is really going to ring, John.
Fritz
that's a great job he's done.
It is a great job. And if you look at his resume, it's fairly similar to Kirk Cignetti at Indiana.
Yeah.
A guy who, I mean, Fritz coached for decades at lower levels, junior college, Division II,
mm-hmm.
Group of Five FCS, you know, and guys like that, Cignetti, Fritz, they win everywhere they go. There's no reason they're not going to win at the power level, right? I think really Fritz, I mean, if you're LSU.
Yeah.
But the thing about Fritz is he's older. And you want to go that route. It's worked great for Houston. It worked great for Tulane. If for some reason Matt Rhule were to leave Nebraska to go to Penn State, the AD at Nebraska, Troy Dannon, hired Willie Fritz at Tulane. You know, there's a lot. So a lot of connections. But yeah, Kalen DeBoer is another example, right? He won at the FCS level. Then he won at Fresno. No doubt he was going to win at Washington.
I could go on and on coaches. John Wilner with us for a couple of minutes. Wilner Hotline. All right,
I'm fine with it.
Let's look ahead to these last 4 weeks of the regular season as we start to wander down the road. We would agree that today the playoff is Ole Miss, A&M, Ohio State, Indiana as the top four seeds. Would we agree on that?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
I think Alabama would get a lot of consideration, would probably be number five. But yeah, I probably could go with that group.
Okay. And I think Indiana stomping UCLA, while it's not a great UCLA team, they had come back. They had some nice momentum, and they just destroyed them.
Yeah,
I think gives them a little bit more legitimacy. As you're on the outside, you may have just answered this. Is Alabama in these next 4 weeks a team to make the push and or Notre Dame?
Well, Alabama, you know, they have the best a collection of quality wins. They beat four ranked teams in a row in succession across 4 weeks. There's nobody else that has done that. I think Alabama is a near lock. If they lose one more time, they're going to get in. The resume is too strong. Wait, who's the other? Sorry.
No, no, it's fine.
Notre Dame is the most interesting case in how what happens to the Irish affects everybody else, right? Because they can only get in the playoff as an at-large since they don't have a conference. If Notre Dame makes it, there are only six at-large spots for the power conferences instead of seven. That's a big deal. That's one from the Big 12 instead of two. It's three from the Big 10 instead of four. Everybody wants Notre Dame to lose again because right now they have two losses. Lost at Miami by three, lost at home to A&M by one. If Notre Dame wins out and they are 10-2, they're probably getting in. And that takes up one of those precious at-large spots. Everybody wants Notre Dame to lose. The problem is their schedule the rest of the way is pretty soft. So Pittsburgh's probably the best team they play. Pittsburgh's like 6-2. So Notre Dame to me is very interesting because they have, because of their special situation, a huge impact on everybody else.
Focus in on the Big 12 for a minute. Let's just say that that happens and a bid is taken away. Are you suggesting that the Big 12 only gets the conference champion into the playoff?
I think that there's a very good chance every year that the Big 12 is only going to get its conference champion in the playoff. What could happen this year? You know, they're in pretty good shape with between Cincinnati, BYU, and Texas Tech. I don't know that I'd put Houston in that category, but those three, some combination of those three, you could end up with a real legitimate at-large contender in addition to the conference champion. Part of the problem, BYU has no quality non-conference wins. Cincinnati lost to Nebraska. That's not looking as good.
Right.
And Texas Tech, no quality non-conference wins. That could end up hurting the conference because when they get matched up against the third team in the Big Ten or the fourth team in the SEC, those leagues are going to have more weight to them because of what happened in non-conference action. I think, especially with the SEC was lights out against Power Four opponents at 10 and 4 against the ACC, Big Ten, and Big 12. So if Big 12 number two is matched against SEC number four, that's going to be trouble.
Well, and the TV side of it, that has to factor in because this year you're going to have schools like Vanderbilt and Indiana. And I know Indiana's been in it before, but they're still not a known football
They
brand.
don't rate, no.
Right. And so you could have while this all is a fun story to watch Vanderbilt, it could be a 35-0 train wreck. Right? So what I'm getting at is the TV side will play a factor in this. I'd be naive to not believe that Notre Dame is already a lock. They could lose every game. I'm just exaggerating. They could be winless and they'd still say, well, it's
I
Notre
think
Dame.
subconsciously, yes. The committee sitting in that room, and the CFP staff that are there to support the committee, everybody knows in the back of their head. I don't know that they are moving. They would make decisions based on what's best for ESPN, but it's basically brand bias, right?
Right.
And brand bias equals ratings. And it's hard not to have brand bias. If you have Alabama with the exact same resume as Cincinnati, who's better? Well, Alabama's better team because it's Alabama, right? That happens, and it happens in the committee room. There's no doubt about that.
Before I get you out of here, Heisman Trophy. You can't say, I can't say. We're both Heisman Trophy voters.
Yep.
But we're sitting here in the last week of November, of October rather, and I would say that it's not clear cut. I would say there's still too much football to play. Would you agree? Is it two, three guys you're left looking at?
Well, certainly right now, if I were voting right now, I'd pick Diego Pavia, the Vanderbilt quarterback, because he has done so much, not just the wins,
Yep.
and his stats are solid. It's just the whole mentality and psychology of that program. They are a beast, right? They're a bully. And his attitude is what has transformed that program more than anything else. Ty Simpson, Alabama's quarterback, certainly would get Fernando Mendoza, Indiana's quarterback. He'd get a lot of votes, but I would pick Pavia right now. I mean, Vanderbilt is top 10. Vanderbilt is a top 10 team, and it's because of Pavia. You could say, well, Indiana's top 10 team with Mendoza, but they were top 10 last year with Curtis Work as their quarterback.
Sure.
Pavia has done more than any single player in years, I think, to transform his football program.
That's John Wilner. He joins us every week. John, thanks.
Thanks very much, Brad.
And we're back with more after this timeout. One other thing on my mind today, and that is Friday night, I went out to see the Hamilton against Basha high school football game. I'm one of those that a Friday night is a good night to be out to watch high school games. Saturday, watch college. Sunday, take in the NFL. Monday night, take in some NFL and then rest, repeat. I went to go see Hamilton play because I've heard a lot about a sophomore quarterback and a sophomore wide receiver. The team has been out, has seen them. Cody on Recruiting Roundup on the site has seen them. You just talk to people in the high school space and they'll say, have you seen this kid, Oliver, over at Hamilton? And I went and I watched him. I watched him destroy Basha single-handedly. And I was standing with a couple of college coaches just looking at their reaction. Yes, both Brent Brennan and Kenny Dillingham were there on the sideline at the game. And there were about 20 other brands, big college brands, The sidelines were packed. It's what high school football is all about when you have big boy football. Doesn't mean it's not a big deal if you go to a high school sideline. There's just one or two of you. I enjoy those just as much if it's for working on some stories. But as I'm watching, I started bouncing names off of coaches around me. DJ Foster, Christian Kirk, Devontae Neal. Those of you that watch the high school space through the years know those names are ones that are comps for local players. This kid at Hamilton, he's only a sophomore, and he's well on his way to surpassing all three of those dudes. It was something to watch. Jared Nielsen's our chairman of the board. Make sure you check out our content over on the website at sports360az.com.